Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're just reading from verse 14. While I'm doing this, we're going to give out little cards to everyone. You just need a card by the end of the service, because there's something to write down on it at the end of the sermon. So don't worry about the card until the end of the it's half a sermon anyway, but to the end of what I'm saying, and then you can write stuff down. I'll be wanting to write a Bible verse down for your own use in the week. So, and if you need a pen, there are pens down the front here. You can nip out your seat while I'm speaking and grab a pen. That's fine. Paul writes this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." And if you can just keep that on the screen. "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." And that's really what we want. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Last week we had a practical thing. We used a bit of string creatively to boost our prayer life, because I find that I need things just to kick me into prayer mode. And one of the other things to do, which is a great idea, and I commend this idea to you, is a prayer diary. If you're having a prayer meeting in your home group or in the Christian Union, or if you've just got a prayer partner, keep a prayer diary. Just list down the prayer requests you make. Now, some of you think, yeah, we do that already. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're doing it already. Some people aren't. Some people never have done it. So let's just work with you if you've never done it. It's a great idea. Some years ago, I felt that I wanted to pray with the guys in the church. There were a number of guys who were unemployed, and we started a group of prayer for the guys who were unemployed. And that was a disaster, because they all got jobs and the prayer meeting ended. So a few years ago, some of the guys retired. I thought, this is the time, isn't it? This is the time. And so we now have once a month, the guys have a prayer meeting, and then we go for coffee together. And I wanted a notebook to write down our prayers. And I grabbed the only one available, which was one my daughter left with me when she went to university. And afterwards, I thought, this is perhaps not appropriate for men's men. But we have a Winnie the Pooh prayer diary that says, "Honey is not for tiggers." Just mention this. But it goes back, and this April, it's going to go back 5 years. Started in 2009. And we've got 5 years' worth of prayers in this book. And we leave a space for answers. And we just go back and we check the answers, and they're tremendous. We do the same in my prayer group. My home group, let me give a plug for the Welsh language home group. If you're a Welsh speaker and want to join us once a fortnight on Wednesday evenings, we pray. And we keep a prayer diary. And this, at the end of last year, we just went back over the previous 12 months, and guess God had answered in just prayer after prayer after prayer. We were just astounded. God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or think. Our faith feeds our expectancy, And our expectancy feeds our prayers. If you're not expecting much, you don't pray much. And God is able. He can handle it. God can handle it. I'm just going to throw out a few Bible verses in this short study. One is Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. This is the God you're praying to, and he's powerful. Been hearing tonight just a few of the many answers to prayer. Like, gosh, we could have gone on for a lot longer. And why not? Because God answers prayer. And so we come back. I just bring you back to Ephesians 3:20. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He is able to do. I know I'm stressing this, but I want you to remember this. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And Bill Hybels talks about a period in his life when his prayer life was really bad. And he says, the real reason why my prayers were weak was that my faith was weak. He didn't believe that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. J.B. Phillips wrote a book. He was an English theologian. And he got fed up with people who were saying that this wasn't happening, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. He wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. Your God is Too Small. It's a great title for a book. Your God is Too Small, because the God of Scripture is much bigger than our feeble pictures of him. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And 15 and a half years ago, nearly 16 years ago, I walked up Glenravon Hill for the first time in my life. I looked up Bangor on the map first to find where it was. And then the church invited me up. And I met a number of the church folk, and they all say they had plans for this and plans for that. And I thought, this is great. And then I walked up Glenravon for the first time and saw our building. Our old building is now called Capel of Fynon. It's there on the left. You go up Penrart. You go to Glenravon, you turn right up the hill, and that little chapel halfway up was our building. I looked at that chapel, and I'd heard all these things that the church folk, Penrach people, wanted to do. And I looked at that building, and my heart sank. Because I've been a pastor for nearly 40 years now, and I knew that what they wanted to do didn't fit that building. Didn't fit, didn't work. Was never going to work in that building. And to be honest, it was no news to them. They were saying the same thing too. But I didn't realize it was as bad until I saw the old building. Nice building, just too small for their vision. And I thought, oh my word, because I'd been involved in thinking about eight building projects in my ministry. And after each one, I swore never again. And I looked at that and thought, here we go again. Here we go again. And I know that most of you are new to Penrith and you only know this building. But I just want to tell you, this building is a sign that God is able to do more than you could ask or imagine, immeasurably more. Because if I had the vision and the knowledge that if I'd stood up and there's just one or two of the original Penrith members here from that time, 60 years, had I stood up to you and said, guys, we're going to move into Turguin Chapel. You say, yeah, go on, don't be stupid, you know. Because Turguin Chapel at the time was doing fine, you know. There was no reason why Turguin Chapel would ever come on the market. In fact, it came on the market because they got a new building. They got a new church. So this one became, it all worked out. But nobody could plan it. We never saw it coming. So just enjoy the grade two listed features and the comfortable chairs and the underfloor heating and the community center and Faith Cafe, because this is a proof to you that God is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or think. You're sitting in the midst of a miracle. You're sitting in the midst of a miracle. I've learned two lessons as I've got older. I just share them with you, and it's really easy. Two lessons. One, God is a big God. And the second lesson I've learned is that I'm fragile. When I was young, I thought I was invincible. I now know I'm fragile. I've learned the lesson. But God is a big God, and I'm fragile. Those are two lessons you learnt tonight. That's good. That's fine. That'll get you a long way. God is able to handle the situation. God is able to do it. God is able to do it. And God can handle us as well. Something else I've learned. God can handle us. He needs to be good at that. I just look at the characters in Scripture, the great heroes, and we call them heroes of faith. Apostle Peter just denies Jesus, you know. Denies Jesus three times. Cock crows and Peter says, oh no. And he goes away in sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground, as the old song says. And his life's a wreck, you know. Man's in pieces, can't even look Jesus in the eye when Jesus meets him risen from the dead. And there's an encounter where, if you get a loose translation of the Greek, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I like you. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I like you. Jesus says, Peter, do you like me? He says, you know I like you. He just hasn't got the courage anymore to tell Jesus he loves him. This guy's a broken man. And yet goes on to become one of the great preachers in history. Just reading Moses' story recently. If you read Moses' story, this guy gave up before he started. We looked at him a couple of weeks ago. Two-thirds of his life over, he's done nothing yet. All his plans fell apart when he was a young man, and now he's getting on in years, and it's two-thirds of his life is over. He hasn't actually started his life work yet. And then God meets him and says, Moses, you're going to set the people free. I'm going to set the people free. You're going to lead the people to freedom. And if you read the story, Moses says, nah, not me. It's a great idea, Lord. The idea is great. Just choose somebody else. They won't listen to me. He just starts out with all the excuses. They won't listen to me. Moses can think of 1,000 reasons probably why this is not going to work. But God is able to handle him. Moses is paralyzed by unbelief before he starts. And it's very easy to get yourself in that situation. This isn't going to work. It isn't going to happen. And, you know, I've learnt down the years. I've got the scars of 40 years of pastoral ministry, and things have gone wrong. Sometimes they've gone different. One thing I've learnt is this. The most exciting thing is when it's impossible. That's kind of cool. I like it when it's impossible. So I'm really looking forward to my meeting on Tuesday, because the situation we're trying to solve is impossible. That's kind of good, because when it's impossible, God can step in. If it's impossible, there's no pressure on me, is there? Nobody expects me to do the impossible. So if it's impossible, then God has a chance to do it. And impossible is good. Impossible sets you free, doesn't it? Is there anything more more liberty giving than to face a situation that's impossible? You can't lose. Just think about it. If it's impossible, it doesn't work out. Well, it was impossible, wasn't it? Wasn't your fault. Nobody expects you to do the impossible. So if it's big and it's impossible, that's a great start. That's the best start possible. Moses just allowed himself to be paralyzed by fear before he began. If I allow what might happen to control how I feel now, then what happens is that the way I feel now begins to control the decisions I take. For example, if I'm in, if I'm in debt, and I look at my debt and I say, it's impossible to get out of this. This is just, my life's just going to fall apart. There's no way out of this. If I kid myself that, if I tell myself that lie, I get into despair. And what I probably do is I go out and I blow what cash I have, on something I don't need just to try and make myself feel better. And my debt gets worse. Yeah? I've allowed what I think might happen to control how I feel, and I allow how I feel to control what I do. But in fact, if I stop by saying, no, there is a way out of this debt. It's going to take time, going to take hard work, but I can get out of this debt. I'm going to see a debt counselor. I'm going to cut my credit cards up. I'm going to start getting my debt under control. Slowly, it can happen, you know? It can happen. One of my heroes in life, he wasn't a Christian, although he came to our services, and he and his wife, his family, got quite interested in the gospel at the time. I moved on. I don't know if they ever came to faith. But this guy was they were poor. They were living in a small area in Brazil, and in a small town called Sorriso, by the way. The town was called Smile. Sorriso means smile in Portuguese. Nice name for a town. I live in Smile. And he wasn't a rich man. He had a job in a shop. And he used to stop on his way home from work every day, have a couple of tipples, and then go home. They're living in a rented house. His wife's a lovely lady. And he kind of, on his way home one day, and there was a hardware shop. He said, no, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to build my house. I'm going to build a house for my wife and family. This is ridiculous the way I'm living. So he stopped, and instead of buying a drink, he had enough money in his pocket for a bag of nails. And he walked through the door, and his wife told me this story afterwards. He walked through the door with a pack in his hand. His wife says, what's that? He said, it's a bag of nails. And she said, it's a bag of nails. Why you've got a bag of nails? He said, this is our new house. Every day I'm gonna buy something for my house. And she fell about laughing. She thought this was hilarious. She had a great sense of it. This was great. That's my house. You're carrying my house in your hand. He said, oh, look at my house. It's a bag of nails. She told me this story standing in the kitchen of her house. Because every day he bought something, every time he passed that store, and the owner of the store was very good. So I'll tell you what, you buy it and I'll put it aside for you. So in the end, every day his little mount of stuff was going. It was a wooden house, it was a simple house, but we all lived in wooden houses in that part of the world. And it took 2 or 3 years, but the guy built his own house. It began with the bag of nails, you know. If you believe that God is able, then the impossible begins to look possible. God can handle us. And because God's handled it in the past. You think of the excruciating mess the human race makes of things. Think of the excruciating mess God's people make of things. Think of the mess-ups in the Bible. Read the Bible. It's a disaster story, isn't it? I mean, this is a spiritual Titanic, you know? It's kind of human race messing up again and again, and God gives them a chance and they mess it up again. He rescues them, they mess it up. You think, God, you know, how are you going to, what's going to happen with all this? But what happens in the end, all those mess ups, where do they lead? They lead to Jesus being born in a stable in Bethlehem. They lead to the cross and the resurrection. They lead to salvation for the human race. God can handle it. God is able to do more, immeasurably more than all that we ask or think. Philippians 4 verse 6, one of my favorite verses. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Remember that God isn't the expert at sorting out human mess. Recently I was talking to somebody and I'm just looking at their situation and I laughed. I saw what they were doing and things, the way things were going. I said, you know, if I told you 5 years ago that today you'd be doing this, would you believe me? He just fell about laughing. He said, no way. Absolutely no way. I'd never dreamt I'd be doing what I'm doing now, what I've just done. 5 years ago, I had no idea any of this existed. God did it. It was a God's miracle in his life. But it's not easy, is it? I mean, what I've just said is great. Isn't that great? But it's not that easy in practice, is it? Believing when things are against you, you know, believing when you're unemployed, that's, you know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, I think, is to hold faith when I couldn't find a job or couldn't find a way forward. And that's really difficult. You never know what's on the horizon. You end up beginning to think you're unemployable or there's no job out there. It's all a lie. But you tell yourself it is. One of my favorite prayer warriors is a guy called George Muller, and I'm nearly finished. Just wanted to share this with you. George Muller was a Victorian evangelical believer who ended up with a string of orphanages. And he had an orphanage in Bristol. He got to a point, he began to feel he wanted to expand it. And by expanding, we're talking about hundreds more spaces. I came across his journal recently, and it's fascinating. And this is what he wrote in December the 11th, 1850. This is what he wrote. He said, "During the last 6 days, I've been day after day waiting upon God. It's generally been more or less all the day on my heart. When I've been awake at night, it's not been far from my thoughts. Yet all this without the least excitement. I'm perfectly calm and quiet, respecting it. My soul would be rejoiced to go forward in his service. Could I be sure that the Lord would have me to do so? For then, notwithstanding the numberless difficulties, all would be well, and his name would be magnified." So December, he's saying, "I want to do it, but I just want to be sure." So he's praying. He's got no money to do it, absolutely no money to do it. But he's praying that this is going to happen. He says, "The burden of my prayer concerning this matter is that the Lord would not allow me to make a mistake and that he would teach me to do his will." So he has Christmas and it's Boxing Day now, and he says, "15 days have elapsed since I wrote the preceding paragraph. Every day since then, I have continued to pray about this matter, and that with a goodly measure of earnestness by the help of God. There's passed scarcely an hour during these days in which, whilst awake, this matter has not been more or less before me. I converse with no one about it." So he's not talking to anyone about it, but now it's so much on his heart and mind that every hour of the day he's praying about it. Whatever he's doing, he's just firing prayers at God. Do I do this? Do I go for it or not? You see the way man's working. This is one of the great prayer warriors, incidentally, one of the greatest prayer warriors of all time. He says, "It's one of the most momentous steps I've ever taken. I judged I cannot go about this matter with too much caution, prayerfulness, and deliberation. I'm in no hurry about it. I could wait years, by God's grace, if it were who will, before even taking one single step towards it, or even speaking to anyone about it. On the other hand, I would set to work tomorrow were the Lord to bid me so." So he's waiting on God. This is how the prayer warrior works. We go into January the 2nd, 1851. "The burden of my prayer has still been that he in his great mercy would keep me from making a mistake. During the last week, the book of Proverbs has come in the course of my scripture reading, and my heart has been refreshed in reference to the subject by the following passages. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And that's how he works. And I'm not sure how long he went on for, but I'll tell you something, he got there. He did it. And soon he had 700 new orphans he was caring for. That's how a prayer warrior works. Just praying, 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 believing that God is able. Do you see the underlying thesis that he knew that God was able? He's seen so many miracles in his life. He knew God could do it. He was just waiting for God's commands. That's a good place to be. That's the launching pad for wonderful things in your life. That's the launch pad that will go anywhere, that will send your spiritual rocket into outer space, you know? You know that God is able, you just wait on his command. So let's just bolster it now, finally, with a bit of homework. Can we have the final three verses on the screen? I just chose three verses. I want you to choose one of these verses and write it down on your piece of card. If you're listening on the internet, I'll just go through the verses. We begin with Psalm 145, verse 18. "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. That's Psalm 145, verse 18. The second verse is from Matthew, words of Jesus. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7, verse 7. And the third verse, Matthew 21, 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Matthew 21, 22. Now, have you please just chosen one of those verses? Write your verse down on your card, and I want you to take your card home with you. And I want you to use that verse every time you come to pray. Okay? I want you to use that verse every time you come to pray this week. Would you do that? Would you come on this adventure in prayer with us this week? So every time, in your quiet time, you read your Bible passage, or you're in your home group, or your study group, or your prayer partner, I just want you to dig out that verse from your pocket, or wherever you've put it, and read that verse. Actually, what really works is to read it out loud. That really brings it to your attention. Read that verse, please. And then start praying. And that's all your homework this week. Isn't too difficult at all, is it? You've already done the difficult part. You've written your verse down. All you've got to do is use it.